First John, chapter 3. We got all the way through verse 9. And it's short. You can probably read it to yourself quickly before we get going. But we want to begin in verse 10. And this is what verse 10 says to us. In this, the children of God are manifest, or brought out in the open, or are made known. And not just the children of God, but the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. I'll read it all together. I broke it up for you so you can understand it, but wait. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. In this, he says. Now, the whole discussion in chapter 3. He says, behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us, bestowed upon us, poured out on us, that we should be called children of God. Think about, he says, behold, think about what love he has given to us. What kindness, what mercy for him to call you and I his children. And remember, he goes on to talk about that you and I, Christians, we won't rest in sin. Oh, we learned that we might sin. First John chapter 1 takes care of that and tells us how to deal with it. But you see, that's not our goal. That's not our hope. That's not our mindset as we head out into the day. We're wanting to follow. We're wanting to do what's right. We're wanting to do what's good and pleasing in the sight of the Lord. And so that's what he's talking about. Look in verse 7, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. In other words, we might sin, but we're not going to stay there. The prodigal son might get down and get ready to eat with the pigs, but he's not going to stay in the mud forever. He'll come to himself, and he will go home, back to his father. So in this, the children of God are manifest, as well as the children of the devil. You should be able, he says. You should be able, now listen closely, to tell the difference in the life of a believer as opposed to, or as compared to, it's an ugly term, but as opposed to the life of a non-believer. There should be an obvious difference. In this, the children of God are manifest. That's how you can see. Every one of us could claim to be a Christian. Maybe we do. Maybe everybody here. Maybe everybody listening to the tapes or the CDs or the radio. Maybe everybody claims to be a Christian. But there should be a difference in the way that we are. You see, there are children of God and there are children of the devil. Some live and act contrary to God's word. Some people live and they act contrary to the Word of God. Well, the Bible is very clear. There are two types of people on the earth. Only two types. There's either a child of God or a child of the devil. You are right now one of those. That's all there are on this planet. A child of the King or a child of the devil. There are only two options. Many teach, and you hear it, the New Age movement is excellent, outstanding at promoting it. Many teach that we are all children of God, all of us. And you hear it in the music. I remember when I used to do a lot, go around the churches and talk about the New Age and what was going on and how it all worked and the metaphysics, you know, and all that stuff. I would take video clips and I would take song clips and just to show people what they were listening to and what was being taught to them in the music. And a lot of people believe and still teach today that we are all children of God. You remember, Lionel Richie and Michael Jackson wrote a song quite a while back called We Are the World, and it was called USA for Africa. It was supposed to bring money. to the starving people in Africa. Well, it brought money to the writers, but the starving people didn't see any of it. You know how that goes. I mean, there are producers and directors, and there's royalties, and there, you know, it gets complicated. And so the people it was intended for obviously are still hungry today. But the words would say this: we are the world. We are the children. We are the ones to make a better day, so let's start giving. Oh, well, ain't that touching? And I mean, it does sound nice. And you think, well, that's nice. What's wrong with that? Well, first of all, we are not the ones to make a brighter day. Let's start giving. It's a choice we're making. The words go on to say this. It's a choice we're making. We're saving our own lives. It's true we make a better day, just you and me. Come on. Who believed that? Everybody. It was being sung in churches. Choirs, church choirs, we are the world, you know, and you think, listen to what you're saying. We are the ones to make a better day, so let's start giving. It's a choice we're making. We're saving our own lives. Already, Christian, we've got a problem with that. You think, well, that can't be of God. Remember, you're either a child of the King, of God the Father, or you're a child of the devil. And they showed us in the song whose children they were. We are the world, we are the children. Of who? As God has shown us, the words go on to say, by turning stones to bread. All right. When did God turn stones to bread? He didn't. But wasn't there a God that suggested turning them to bread? Who was that? As God has shown us, by turning stones to bread, it's true we make a better day, just you and me. Baloney. You're either a child of the devil or you're a child of God the Father. Jesus said so himself in John chapter 8. I'm going to read starting in verse 39. They answered and said unto him, speaking to Jesus, he was being attacked, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. You'll always act like your father. But now you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This Abraham did not do. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. They're arguing with him. Jesus replies. He said this unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my words or my speech? Even because you cannot hear my words. You won't listen, in other words. You are of your father, the devil. And the lusts of your father you will do. You will act like your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own. He is a liar and the father of it. Jesus just said very clearly, you are of your father, the devil. Some are children of the devil. Some are actually children of God. You and I, we are one or the other right this moment. And let me tell you what he just said. Jesus just said, you will begin to act like your father. Did you hear that? He said to them, and the works of your father you will do. Every one of us will act like our father. So sooner or later, it's going to show who I belong to, isn't it? No matter what I say, it's going to show. No matter what you say, it's going to show. Have you ever given your heart to the Lord? Opened your heart and asked Jesus Christ to come into your life? A complete change. The devil is a murderer and a liar. Now, those aren't my words. Those are the very words Jesus used in John chapter 8. He's a murderer from the beginning. He's a liar and the father of it. He's not a nice guy. He's come for one purpose: to steal, to kill, and to destroy. You place yourself under him as your father, and you begin to act like he does. Murder. Children of God, true children of God, will live a righteous lifestyle. And above that, they will love their brothers and sisters. I'm not making it up. In this, the children of God, chapter 3, verse 10 of 1 John. In this, the children of God are manifest or made known or shown. And the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is of God, neither he that does not love his brother. So see, we're going to live a certain lifestyle and we are going to love. The love that is of the Lord. True love, not the emotional thing that everybody's dealing with on the level that you and I are used to. But a real love of people. Somebody will say to you, you don't love me. I hear what they're saying. They don't mean you don't love me. What they're saying to you is, you're not doing what I want. You've heard it. You've heard it a million times. You just don't love. You're unloving. I know why. Because I just told you the truth about you. That's what makes us up. No. That's the most loving thing we could do. Oh, no. You're not loving. I'm going to do that. You're going to be. They're used to dealing on a flesh level of what they call love. And you and I, children of God, will live a righteous lifestyle and will love their brothers and sisters. A righteous lifestyle. And Jesus says, very lovingly, alas for you lawyers and Pharisees, hypocrites that you be. Sure that the kingdom of heaven awaits you, you will not venture half so far. And other men who might enter the gates, you keep them from passing through. You drag them down with you, you snakes. You vipers brood, you cannot escape being devil's food. I send you prophets and I send you preachers, sages in rages and ages of teachers, and nothing can mar your mood. You are blind fools. I hope he was not talking about you and me when he spoke those words in love, but you could see the anger in his face when he said, hypocrites. You scour the land, you cross the sea to find one convert. And when you find that one who will listen to you and follow you, he says you make them twice as fit for hell as you are yourselves. And the Bible says, the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. Look at verse 11. For this is the message you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. The early church was known for its love. Jesus said, you'll know his disciples for the love that they have for each other. This is a godly, agape love, a love that only is God himself, and to love that way, I must be born again. You must be born again. There is no possible way to love like that except the Holy Spirit takes up residence in your life, because it is literally the love of God himself. As we prayed, pour your heart into ours, because 1 Corinthians 13 describes it for you. If you want to see it for yourself, go and read it and put your name in there. Bob is patient. Bob is kind. He never demands his own way. Bob never fails. Just stick your name in there. You want to laugh? And you'll see that it is a supernatural, true love having nothing to do with the fleshly plane that you and I live on. God's people throughout history have been known for the love that is supernatural. In the Jesus People movement, some of you are too young to remember, but you still could read the books. Maybe you've seen the videos or talked to those who were there. There was a time when having long hair was, it was anathema. It was accursed. If you had long hair, something was desperately wrong with you. Nowadays, I noticed if you've got hair that doesn't stick straight up, or if you got hair at all, you know, most people dare to be an elbow now in a world full of armpits. I see they just shave that, get it? They just shave their heads completely. I'll let you guys think about that for a long time, because that's clever. That's a good one. Back then, though, man, to be rebellious was to have long hair. Now to be rebellious is to be completely shaven with a tattoo covering your face. Or maybe that's not rebellious. Maybe that's popular. I can't tell anymore. But do you know that they would come together? Listen to this. This is going to freak you out. They didn't bring people to the barbecues. They didn't bring people to the parties. They went down and they brought people to church. Today we hear people saying, let's do something special outside because I want to bring someone in. They were bringing people to Jesus back then. That's different than what I hear today. I don't know what it is, but it's different. I got some friends, but when are we doing another special thing? I don't want to bring them to church. I don't want them to hear the Bible. Don't want to turn them off. Yeah, they were bringing people, and you'd have a guy in a three-piece suit and a guy in there who couldn't spell suit sitting next to one another in church praising God. Yeah, those were good days. But the point is this, these are just as good days. You see, there was love there. People tell me, I didn't get to go. I was a little bit too young, but people tell me that you could walk into Calvary Chapel at Costa Mesa, that small little church as it began to grow, and you could literally feel the love. People would walk up and hug you, and I remember Romaine saying they tried to kill me. So many of them would try to hug me. They had what they call a love sandwich. And Romaine says, man, they would, four or five or six of these hippies and guys and girls would get around you and you thought, what's this? And they'd call it a love sandwich and they'd just all hug all at once. He says there was a difference. And there was. What was it? Love. Jesus said, this is my commandment. He said it in John 15:12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. You say, I want the Ten Commandments written on the wall. Hey, listen, I'll tell you what. How about just the one that's going to cover everything? This is my commandment. You want to keep God's commandments? Yeah. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I loved you. How did he love me? He gave himself for me. Unselfish, willingly, for me. Now he says, you turn around, Bob, and do the same for others. Well, they won't like me. So what? Well, they'll talk behind my back. Let them go. I'll get them, God says. Yeah, but you know, I can't be a fool. I can't let them walk all over me. Just be a fool. Paul says, I'm a fool for Christ's sake. Paul says, I have determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I have decided, as intelligent as Paul was, he said, I'm through with the debates and the foolish arguments with all these brains. I have decided to know nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Because all these other things don't promote love, do they? They promote division, groups, special studies. They promote everything but love. So here's the question. After Jesus said in John 15:12, this is my commandment, he said in 15:17, these things I command you, that you love one another. So here's a question for you and I to answer. You don't have to answer it out loud. Do you love each other? I'll give you some time. I mean, do you really love each other? Really? Or do you love when it is convenient? Brother? It's so great to see you. Oh, man, I love you, bro. What do you want? Can you help me with this little... Do you really love one another? Or is this just something you do to get what you need to get out of each other and out of church and out of... Got a call this week. Churches get calls almost every day for money. Young fella, he called and I happened to get the phone. I felt sorry for him from the get-go. He's talking to me. It's a waste of time. You already know that. If he needs counseling, you know, I'm just going to tell him the Bible. The guy's going to get nowhere. He said, I need some help. I said, okay, what kind of help do you need? He said, I need some money. I said, could have knocked me over with a feather. That always helps the conversation out tremendously. He says, I'm going back to college and I need money for a bus ticket. I said, how much money? I need help with a bus ticket. I said, how much help do you need? Like, do you need the whole ticket? He said, well, yeah. I said, yeah, I kind of thought so. Where do you go to church? He said, you know, I haven't decided yet. I said, I'll tell you what, buddy. Pray about it and call me when you decide, and I'll tell you to ask them. He hung up. I don't know why. You're unloving. Oh, no, no, man. You know, when you got little kids, one of the best things you can do is teach them how money, where money comes from and how you get it. Somebody didn't teach him, so this is a non-Christian going around calling churches thinking, somebody will give me $50. Well, he called the wrong idiot. I'm sure he got one. But, you know, that's bad parenting. To just give anybody anything they ask for. Do we really love each other? Or do we love each other when it's convenient? Do we love each other when it suits our purpose? When you're going to get something out of the deal. How about when you're in the right mood? Or do we really love each other? Do you love people until you are finally offended by them? Finally, they said something you didn't like. They did something you thought they shouldn't. Finally, you didn't like what they're all about. Or do you really love them the whole way? You know, well, yeah, I love my brother and sister, you know. Well, but what's his name is such an idiot. Oh, man, the things he does. I don't think he's saved. Look at her. She is an absolute mess. What a life. Do we love our brothers? You know something? The Bible teaches us our actions should be judged by one another. I hear it quoted quite often. Matthew 7:1, judge not, lest you be not judged. You're taking it out of context. You're mixing it up, Christian. Actions should be judged. We're called to do that. Hearts should not be judged. I don't know why you're lying, you big fat liar, but you're lying. Now, you can't say why they're lying, but you could certainly say, you are lying to me. That's a lie. And if you love them, you'd be willing to say that. I think that there are times when it's our responsibility to say to someone, are you a Christian? And if they say yes, we can look and say, you know, the way you're talking, it doesn't sound like it. The way you're acting, it doesn't look like it. You're judging me. Not your heart, just what you're doing. What you're doing is wrong. What you're saying is wrong. What you're doing behind everybody's back is wrong. You're in sin. God bless you. Do something about it. It's our responsibility. You love each other at all times. And if you'd like to underline something, all times. That's what we're told to do. It is manifest. In this, the children of God are manifest. You notice, if you're not truly born again, it's not possible. If you're not truly born again, it is not possible to love that way. To love with God's love, you've got to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in your life. You must also be walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. To love with the love that we're talking about. And again, we don't have time to do 1 Corinthians 13, but you and I can go back before we go to bed and just read through that. That chapter is very short. Read through it to show you what love is and what love does. And love cannot be faked. The truth always comes out. You can only go a little while. And once you're found out and you're burned, usually you have to either repent or clear out. Because it can't be faked. Look at verse 12. Well, let me read verse 11 and get a running start at verse 12. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore or why did he kill him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. We're to love one another, but we shouldn't love like Cain did. Cain was of the wicked one. What does that mean? A child of the devil. I thought his dad was Adam. It's not what God's talking about. Cain was of the wicked one. Why? Well, there's a difference between him and Abel. They had the same parents. They grew up in the same house. I mean, they can't complain about their neighborhood or their upbringing. But something was different in the heart of one than in the other. It's a heart issue. And so when you and I are to love, we are not to love like Cain. I suggest to you that probably all of us are guilty of being more like Cain in our love than we are like Abel. Cain murdered his brother. Why? For the only reason is because Cain was out of line and Abel just didn't happen to be. That made Cain angry and he murdered his brother. And we can go back if you'd like to. It's Genesis chapter 4. Let's do that. Because you have to see it. You've got to understand. We all do. This is right after the fall. Now, when I say that, take that with a grain of salt. When I say right after, all I'm saying is this is chapter 4, which comes right after chapter 3. I don't know how much time has evolved between Eve eating them out of house and home and this taking place in chapter 4. I don't know. We're not given a time limit. So watch. Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain. She had a baby boy. She said this, I have gotten a man from the Lord. We had a boy. And she again bare his brother, Abel. They weren't twins. Cain was older, and we don't know how much older. Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. What's wrong so far? Nothing. Nothing. Their parents are fine. They're doing fine. They both got jobs. This is cool. They've grown up now. They're working. And in the process of time, if you're a Bible underliner, underline in the process of time. Came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering to the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, the Lord had not respect. And Cain was very angry and his countenance fell. Let me read this again. And in the process of time, in a Bible, in the corner of the Bible, and you've heard me say it before, time wounds all heals. And now you need to remember that because that's scriptural. Time wounds all heals. In the process of time, something went wrong. Time brings out the truth. You see that? Time shows what's really going on. Young couple comes in. They are so in love. They walk a foot off the ground. It's snowing. It's ugly. Cars are crashing everywhere. And they come in and go, isn't it a beautiful day? And I look at them and I think, time's going to take care of this. Time will straighten your head right out. What scares me is some of the couples now, they are butting heads and they're still engaged. I think, wow, we didn't start butting heads till we've been married quite a while. These guys are in for a mess. Time. When someone says they belong to the Lord, time will show you what they're really like. Time. Because time wounds all heals. Time. So when someone says, I'm called to the ministry, I want to serve God, you just look at them and say, cool. Sit down, learn the Bible, and if you want, you can clean the restrooms. Time. I went to a pastor one time. I said, I just want to help. I want to serve. He says, well, we don't know you. Here's what I'd like to do. Go work with the children for 1 year and come back and see me. 1 year with the kids. You nuts! You know what he was telling me, don't you? Time will show us what you're about. So all we're asking for is a little time. I mean, all we got is time, either here or in eternity. That's all we've got, time. You watch, time shows. And people's true colors, they come out. And you can't hide it. And you can't deny it. And in the process of time, the boys grew up. See, Cain brought fruit, the fruit of the ground, an offering to the Lord. Abel brought. But you see, God had respect for Abel's and not respect for Cain's. Now, you can fight about whether it was because it was a blood sacrifice or growth. You can go all that. That's not what we're going to today. God didn't have respect for Cain's. And Cain was what? Very angry, wasn't he? And his countenance fell. He was bummed. He was mad. He was very upset. He was not happy with anything nor anybody. As a matter of fact, I think we'd have to call this a mood, and you probably wouldn't want to have run into him that afternoon. How's it going, Cain? Oh, shut up. You Christians are all alike. Not that you were a Christian. I don't even know, man. I'm mad. Really? What's up? Well, my stupid brother. You know what he is? He's this, and he's this, and he's this. Man, that's your own brother, Abel. I don't care. I'm mad now. And you know Abel is a jerk. You know what made Abel a jerk? Nothing. The problem is all with Cain. You catching on? You see how Cain loved his brother? They probably got along well. You know, everyday regular, oh, brother, it's good to see you. Hey, bro, it's good to see you. Hey, man, come on over to our house for dinner. Well, there's nobody but me, but I'll do some cooking and we'll do, come on over, we'll have some fun. And the Lord said to Cain, verse 6, why are you angry? Isn't that a good question? Yo, Cain, why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen? Verse 6. If you do well, shall not you be accepted? And if you do not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and you shall rule over him. Why are you angry, Cain? Cain got angry. Why? You walk up to the table, and there's a bunch of people there at the table. And you go, guys, mind if I sit down? No, come on, sit down with us. All Christians. You sit down, and one of them begins to tell a joke that you know he shouldn't be telling this or she shouldn't be telling this. Probably that's not a good thing to be doing here. But you're not going to judge them, and so you say, excuse me, I'm going to head out. I need to get moving. But they all at the table know, don't they? Yeah, they do, don't they? They know why you're leaving, and they're, oh, goody two shoes, huh? This is, oh, we're not good enough for you. Oh, Mr. Holier than thou, Miss Holier than thou. Oh, why are they angry? I mean, what made them angry all of a sudden? The truth is conviction. Why do you think Cain got angry? Same reason you do. Somebody said something, you didn't like it. Usually if the pastor preaches and people don't like it, it's because it's the word of God, but they get mad at the one saying it. Oh, he's a jerk. He's not loving. He's this, that. Because God just called them a liar. Whoa, look at this. God says, why are you angry? I'll tell you why, God, because that was a slap in my face. Abel's was right and mine was wrong, and you and Cain knew it all along. His heart was no good. He knew it all along. So God's going, I don't know why you're angry. You know these things, and God's so merciful, he speaks to you, doesn't he? There's that group at the table. You say, excuse me, guys, I'm not going to stay here. They go, oh, well, Mr. Righteous, Mr. Holy, you don't watch the movies that we watch. You're too good to do that. And you can see there's an anger. And when there's an anger, when you're angry with your brother for no cause, what did Jesus say? angry with your brother for no cause, you've done what in your heart? Committed murder. So what do you think? That murder took place way before he ever hit his brother or whatever he did to his brother, didn't it? You commit murder in your heart by being angry for no reason. The reason is he's convicted. The reason that the table is saying this to you is because they are convicted. The reason that people get upset with you is because something in their heart is eating at them and they say, you know, I'm not going to admit that you're right. I don't like you. You're judging. You're this. You're that. You're mean. So God, very kindly and in mercy, says, why are you angry? God speaks to you through His Holy Spirit, saying, let's just put it another way. Come on, Cain. You know better than this. Come on, group. You know better than this. Come on. The Spirit of God begins to speak to your heart. And what does He say to you? He says, if you had done what was right, you wouldn't be feeling this way. You wouldn't be thinking this way. And you know what is right. And you, Cain, know that sin right now is crouching right outside the door. And sin's desire is to devour you. When he says its desire is for you, it means to devour like a beast. A large animal would attack and crush a small one and eat it alive. That's what sin's desire. But look what God says to Cain. If you will listen to me and not be angry, and if you will listen to what the Lord is speaking to your heart and confess now, you won't be gossiping later on. You won't be saying things that you're going to have to try to scramble out of. You won't be having to try to get weasel points for trying to get back. Well, I said that, but that's not what I meant. Yeah, we talked behind your back, but you know, I'm really sorry, but... And you would never have to do that if you'd listen when God calmly speaks to you and says, what are you doing? Sin is ready at the front door. It's crouching at the door. And its desire is to devour you. Notice the last part of that verse, in verse 7. And God says, and you shall rule over him, over sin. What does that mean? If you will listen to me, repent, this won't get you. Cain, calm down because you know better. And if you will listen, this won't get you. This won't come back to bite you. This won't come back to harm you. Cain, what are you doing? Think about what you're doing. Doesn't God do that in your heart? But right before you go ahead and still get yourself in deep trouble, doesn't God say, listen, come on now. Think about this before you even speak. What are you doing so angry? Drop the anger. Let it go. Give place to wrath. Don't do this. Sin is crouching at the door. Don't let sin rule. Don't open the door. You know, back in my BC days, that means before Christ, before I was saved. I was listening to that this morning. We all, as Christians, have this tendency to say, I'm going to tell them something. Oh, but wait, Christians won't appreciate this, so I better say it was in my BC days. So it's okay, they'll still like me. You know, back in my BC days, I watched some TV lots of times late at night. I know that you probably didn't, because you guys have been holy since day one. But there was a show that was on television called Saturday Night Live. I know that you've never watched that because that was absolute garbage. And it would pollute your mind, and it'd still stick with you today if you would watch that. So I'm glad that you didn't. But in there was the stupidest skit, and they would do it all the time. And it was a land shark. What are you laughing at? You didn't watch that kind of... I'm shocked. My whole opinion is... I'm quitting this church. I'm going to go find another church. You watch that? Can you say it was in your BC days? Oh, Lord. Let's not go there. There would be a knock on the door. And they'd open the door, and a shark would come in and bite them and devour them. And then a few minutes later in the show, you'd hear a knock. Of course, the shark would always call, land shark. You'd hear a knock, and the person was afraid. Who is it? Pizza delivery. Oh. They open the door, and the shark would get them. And you think, this is stupid. Man, why am I watching this? This is absolutely stupid. Then later on, there to be a knock on the door. And the person would know, it's the land shark, man, I'm not opening. I'm not opening the door. Who's out there? No, it's the President of the United States. Come on, it's the shark. You're not fooling me. And no, it really, it's the President. And they open the door, what happens? And you think, this is so stupid. Why are they opening the door? If you never saw it, praise God, you're all right. That's absolutely foolish. But that was an outstanding example of Genesis. When God said to Cain, sin is right outside the door. Don't open the door, dummy. You gotta be kidding. It's happened to you 3 times. You're still gonna open the door. It's land shark. And what do? Someone offends you. Maybe because they didn't do what you wanted them to do. Maybe because they did what they thought was right and you didn't appreciate it. Whatever, you're offended. And God says to you, drop this. You better put it away. Sin, the land shark, is crouching right outside the door. Don't open the door. Drop it. Leave it alone. That's what the scriptures are talking about when God is calmly talking to Cain. Cain, leave this alone. You know better. You're offended because your own heart has been pricked. Repent. Lighten up or something's going to go wrong. Don't let sin rule. Well, you know what happened? Yes, you do. Cain, verse 8. Talked with Abel, his brother. Hey, man, it's good to see you. Here's a murderer, a liar, a sinner who says he's doing fine. Abel, come on. I want to show you, man, out in the fields. He works in the field, right? Isn't that what Cain did for a living? He brought up the fruit of the ground. They go out into the field. I got to show you some of the stuff I'm growing. I want to just talk to you a little bit about this. Man, it's good to see you. We haven't spent any quality time together. Oh, come on now. Come on. You've seen it. Christians have done it to me. Let me talk to you privately a little bit. I just want to see how you're doing, man. How can I pray for you? What's going on in your life? Tell me, where are you struggling, bro? How's it going? You say, well, you know, I'm having an attitude with people like you. And sure enough, man, it shows up 3 weeks later throughout the church. People say, you know, I heard you got an attitude with people like me. Where'd you hear that? Somebody was out to murder me, weren't they? Somebody was out to murder me. My own brother, my own sister. Somebody's out to murder you. And they come. Oh, are they kind. And they are godly. They're so holy. But they don't love you. And if they don't love you, you're going to find, go back to 1 John. Let's go back to our original Bible study. And if they don't love you with the love of the Lord, they aren't children of God. Doesn't matter what scriptures they quote. Doesn't matter how holy they look. Doesn't matter, nothing. Something's wrong. Something stinks. As Martha would say, by now, Lord, he stinketh. Something's up. And you need to keep the door closed. Watch it. Be careful. He says to Cain, you should have dealt with this in your heart and moved on. You still complaining about something that happened to you a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago? Hey, man, brothers and sisters, you and I should have dealt with that and it should be dead and gone. You should have moved on. You haven't moved on from that. Something is desperately wrong. Don't open the door because I know it's Landshark. I know. I don't care if it says it's pizza, president. I don't care what you think it is. Scripture is clear. You need to have dealt with that and moved on from it a long time ago. Something's wrong. You can't love because you're carrying something like that. Something's wrong. Desperately wrong. Verse 13. We're back in 1 John now. Remember that study? Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. And that literally means quit being surprised. Doesn't mean don't be surprised. It's in the now. Quit being so surprised that the world hates you. Remember, it hated Jesus first. John 15, I'll read you verses 17 through 20. These things I command you, Jesus says, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Quit being so surprised that the world hates you. The world, Christian, if you really want to follow God, the world will hate you. Don't be so shocked. Jesus said so. We know, verse 14, that we have passed from death to life. How? How do we know? Because we love the brethren. We have a special love for brothers and sisters in the Lord. That's how we know that we belong to God. Now let me ask you, any Christians you don't like? I have to give you a long time because you have to think of all those names, don't you? Think about them. Any Christians you're scared to, you might run into? Any Christians that you have hated so badly that you moved away from the town because they were in town? Yet you are still calling yourself a Christian. You are saying, oh, I'm born again. But the Bible just said, well, wait a minute now. Let's see. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He that does not love his brother abides in death, is not born again, is still dead at this moment. Now stop and come up with a list of everybody you don't love, so that you can get rid of the list tonight. If you and I call ourselves believers, the love has got to show. If we call ourselves believers, the Bible couldn't get much more clear than it is right there. Love is the sign that you are truly His. Some people teach it's speaking in tongues. Some people teach that it's supernatural sign gifts. But God's word is clear here. The love of the Lord. That's how we know that we're His. Now, I didn't say you're going to like everybody. Again, do you remember that as soon as we use the term love, you and I are on the flesh level. Her? If I got to love her, I'm leaving this church. Him? I can't stand it. He makes me nauseous. You're dealing on a level that's still immature. That's still flesh. We need to love others even when they mistreat us. Jesus says, love your enemies. Pray for those who despitefully use you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Pray for them. That's what Scripture teaches. God's word is clear. So you and I have some growing to do, don't we? Whosoever, verse 15, whosoever hates his brother is a murderer. Jesus said that in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. You can read through there. You know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him, period. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and no murderer has eternal life. You can't argue with those words. They are clear. So, we're talking right now. I mean, right now. Not, well, you know, I better pray about this and take a week to get it together. No, we're talking right now. Do we really belong to Him or not? Are we really truly Christians or not? Do we love one another or not? Are we holding grudges or not? Are we hating one another, fighting one another, backbiting? Because Paul says you'll backbite and you'll literally devour each other. You'll eat each other alive. And there won't be love there at all. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we need a change in our lives, don't we? According to 1 John chapter 3, we need a definite change in our lives. And the change needs to be that we begin to love with the love of the Lord. So that when people come to you, maybe they won't see a super hero. Maybe they won't see a holy woman or a holy man, but they will see the love of God. That's what Jesus says will set apart his disciples from all others. These are areas where you and I need to pray. Our lives need to change. Let's bow our heads together.